Well, I must say that I have not spoken in this to this congregation since April of 2012, and it's very different here now. Who knew that this old building had this inside? I congratulate you on what a tremendous transformation, and how interesting that today we are talking about birthing a new self and personal transformation. Thank you for inviting me back. About 10 years ago, I was going through a major life event. The crumbling of my nearly 10-year marriage, and the denial, mine and his, and the rebellion that was mine, and the stoicism which was his, and the uncertainty, again, mine and his, that were part and parcel of it all, were overwhelming, to say the least. I felt like I could barely do the basic things needed to take care of myself and my children. I wanted to yell and scream, to say mean words, to run away and pretend none of it was real. I felt like I should fix things or fix me, and I wanted him to disappear so that I wouldn't have to deal with the fact that we had changed, that I had changed, and that the person I was becoming was not a person who could stay in that relationship. I wanted to deny, as I had for several years, the fact that we were not growing in the same direction, along the path that I had envisioned when we got together. I was angry that I couldn't, and quite honestly didn't really want to be, the wife and mother and person that I had been raised to be. Now, I say event, but as anyone who has gone through the dissolution of a relationship knows, it is not a one-shot event. It is a process, and sometimes that process is longer, and sometimes it is shorter. But it is never an event that happens at a particular point in time. At some point in this process, which would ultimately lead us to divorce, I was talking with a friend who has since passed away. She also happened to be a therapist. And I was telling her how much my soul was hurting, so much so that my body was in pain. And she, wise woman that she was, said, "Well, of course it hurts. You're birthing yourself." Of course it hurts. You're birthing yourself. Well, that resonated deeply with me because I had given birth to two babies in the previous 4 years and gone through one miscarriage. I knew the pain of childbirth. I knew the discomfort of pregnancy, the angst of waiting for that new being to emerge and show herself. And I also knew that no pregnancy lasts forever, even when it feels like it might. And her words gave me hope. They gave me a reason to keep on growing and discovering more of who I was becoming, because in the end, I knew that I would be a new version of myself. The pain suddenly became an ally and not an enemy, just like the pain of laboring to bring my daughters into the world. The roller coaster of emotion may not have made sense at the time, but I had a new sense of trust in the process. In fact, at one point, I even went to one of those paint-your-own pottery places and found a plate, and I drew a spiral and wrote the words, "Trust in the universal process." For the next few years, every time I used that plate, I was reminded that I was working within a framework larger than what was immediately visible to my eye. Now, I realize that many of you have not birthed babies. This may not be as relevant an image for you. But the mere fact that you are here on this planet at the age you are now proves that you have rebirthed a new self at least once and probably several times. Sometimes, whether you wanted to or not. I have undergone several more birth processes since the one I just mentioned. And you know what? Each time I do it, I still find myself at some point in that same place of soul pain that just racks my body like it's the first time. I still have times of forgetting that gestation and birth of a new life, whether a baby or a new version of yourself, is a process that completely engulfs and takes over your body, mind, and spirit. Because it's supposed to. You cannot stay the same in a process like this. No, you're not supposed to. Often the pain comes from resisting the shift, the change that you are being called to undergo. Yet the process itself is what enables that shift. And though it is often painful because we don't understand the reasons why things are changing, the growth in awareness and greater perspective that results from the process is the whole point. We cannot stay the same and remain alive. To live is to say yes to the ongoing becoming of who we are as both innately divine and inherently human beings. To live this life is to fully participate in the shifting of our concept of self and who we are in relationship to others. And being fully alive means we have to undergo growth, expansion, and the leaving behind of our old concepts of self. We are called again and again to birth a new self. One image that has often been associated with rebirth is that of the snake. Many indigenous peoples have some version of a rebirth myth that talks of the snake shedding its skin and leaving behind the old restrictive shell because it has grown into a larger being. Many of us have never seen a snake in the process of shedding. I actually had never seen it till I happened to be at a zoo in Australia, I think. And it was a really long process. It's longer than you might imagine, and of course it takes longer each time because the snake is bigger each time. It also isn't something that happens smoothly or easily. The snake must go through times of twisting and wriggling and rubbing against rocks and trees in order to loosen that old skin. It needs to balance that action with times of stillness and rest to regain its energy. And in the end, that new skin is tender and vulnerable, and I'm pretty sure we can all relate to that. Now, snakes have hormonal triggers that tell them when it's time to shed their skin. And we humans have other ways of knowing, and truthfully, just as many ways of denying that it is time to birth a new self. Sometimes hormones are part of it. You know, puberty is a big trigger for moving from one version of self to another, often within several months. I'm sure you can each recall the upheaval and the uncertainty and the internal chaotic feelings of puberty, and I'm pretty much living those days again with my daughters who are now 14 and 16. In the midst of shifting and changing themselves, almost on a daily basis, it seems. Jessica Hagen, who's an animal medicine writer, talks of snake medicine and talks that it says, she speaks that snake medicine is about transcending personal pain, gaining a sense of security in the midst of instability, and learning how to renew without having to replace. The teachings of this animal urge us not to give up on or throw out that which may still be quite useful. When snake medicine glides into your life, it is time to slough off the old pattern so that the new design can pulse with the most current energy. It is time to listen to your body's discomfort and locate the real source of the pain. Now, snake, unlike the dragonfly or the butterfly, does not go from one shape to a completely new shape. Snakes molt. The process of gliding through old dead cells to emerge improved and renewed with its original design intact is what molting is. You know, birds do it too. They don't become something different. They just get new feathers. This molting process, when applied to healing, can range from mildly irritating to debilitating contractions of violent pain, depending on the lessons being presented and how willing we are to sit there and deal with it. So what do we do with that pain, and how do we end it? The hardest thing, don't run away. Turn around and move into it. Confronting pain is the only way to completely dissolve it. The basic function of pain is to teach us the true reality of our life outside delusional social conventions. That reality is a silent experience beyond words, and it is in that silence that the healing occurs. Now, the list of events that can trigger or herald times of birthing a new self include, but are not limited to, the end of a relationship, becoming unemployed or getting a new job, death of a parent, a partner, a spouse, a child, a friend, a grandparent. Moving to a new location, birth or adoption of a new child, entering into a committed relationship, trauma, natural process of aging and health issues, and sometimes just because it's time to change. As you can tell, we are all called again and again in this life to become new, to see with new eyes and hear with new ears, and to birth a larger, more compassionate, more complete version of ourselves, knowing that that completion will undergo change again. And yet we are human beings who love comfort. I mean, who wants to get dressed up and put on a belt or pantyhose? Or I would rather stay in my pajamas most of the day. But I also understand that things change, and you really don't need to see me in my pajamas. We love to feel secure and steady. Even when we find ourselves a little bored with our lives, the prospect of change is often scarier than the discomfort of the velvet-lined rut that we've made for ourselves. Sure, it might feel a little restrictive, a little dull, just like the snake's too small skin, but that new skin will be tender and vulnerable, and that's where denial comes in. To co-opt Elizabeth Barrett Browning's words, "How did I deny change? Let me count the ways." I can turn into the busiest person around and fill my days with activities both meaningful and mundane. I can escape into lethargy or complaining about my current state of being, but make no effort to do anything to remedy my discomfort. I can become engrossed in television, the internet, romance novels, or mind-altering substances. I can project my unease onto others and accuse my partner, my children, or my coworkers of any number of behaviors to rile them up and create disharmony in my relationships. And the list goes on. When you look at the face of it and think of all the challenges ahead, you might think, well, hey, this isn't so bad. Maybe it's just better to stay right where I am. But really, even though there is fear, I know, and you know, that stasis is not the point. We are meant to grow and change throughout our entire lives. However long those years may be, they are ours for exploring and coming to know ourselves more fully. But let's get back to that process of birthing a new self. So there you are. Part of your life is changing, or has ended, and the next part has yet to show itself in a way that you can recognize. Or perhaps you do recognize it, but you're not sure how to live that way just yet. The loss of our known identity, which can be described as the way we see ourselves as individuals in relationship with others, or as the labels we wear, this loss of identity can be overwhelming. You may feel sad, angry, frustrated, disappointed, excited with new possibility, apprehensive, and myriad other emotions. And all of these might be wrapped in a feeling of being stuck with no clear idea of what to do next or where to turn for answers. You may feel you are in a void. One part of you has ended or shifted dramatically, and the next step is still a mystery. You may fear making a wrong decision, not being liked for the choices you will make, or being a burden to your family and friends while you sit in the unknowing. You may also realize that by changing yourself, others will have to change and may not want to, which may also impact your ability to move forward. This void may feel nebulous. You can't really see where it ends. You may feel lazy or frantic. You may want to start a new project to take your mind off the process that you're perceiving as a problem. And then when you start it, there's really no energy for going ahead with that project. You may want to sleep, or to clean out closets and organize the kitchen cupboards. And those sorts of activities may help to give you a moment's focus. But the process is still a mystery. You may still feel as if you are in a void. And yet, there really is no void. There is real movement in the dark. When a new life is pushed out of the womb into the visible, it is the ending of a process that has unfolded in secret, in mystery and largely unknown even with all the technology we have. Similarly, when we are birthing our new self, much of the process happens in this time when we sometimes feel that nothing is happening, or I'm stuck, or I just can't get ahead. That feeling of stuckness is not unusual, and you are not alone in feeling lost, perhaps abandoned, and floating in a sea of uncertainty or chaos. This void is not nothing. The fear we carry is only our perception of the darkness being a place that is unsafe. Yet if we think of previous experiences, we know that the darkness does not last, and with time, patience, and trust, we will emerge into the light and see ourselves larger and brighter than we were before we began the process. Writer Jennifer Hoffman, who's also a spiritual intuitive, describes this void as the disconnection between the soul, which has ascended to a new level, and the heart and mind, which are in a crisis because of the faulty perception. She says, "I think the phrase dark night of the soul is incorrect because the soul doesn't have dark nights. It knows exactly what is going on and waits for us to be open to the peace, knowledge, and transformation it holds for us. The dark night of the soul is really a heart and mind crisis. The heart and mind are at one level of consciousness, and the soul has ascended to a different level. And the disconnect is, how do I get there from here? It feels like the abyss of unknowing, and without that powerful soul connection, it can seem very dark indeed. In our dark night of the mind and heart, we might ask, why is this happening to me? When the right question is, where is my awareness? Then we can make the shifts, and some of them are quite small, that reconnect us to our souls and move us into that next version of ourselves. Through the willingness to change our awareness, we raise our consciousness. Now, I know that that abyss can feel so large that it cannot be crossed. I had to be willing to go through the divorce and all the seeming brokenness that resulted in order to feel like the snake, I was whole underneath. Yes, I was tender and vulnerable for a long time. It took time to get to know my new self with my new and extended boundaries of love, both the love of myself and love of others. The light of understanding myself as a whole, divinely human being comes from that mystical union of heart, mind, and soul that results from saying yes to the shift and repositioning my awareness into the enlightenment that my soul was showing me. With each new birth, I go through the process again. The difference is in the choices I make as I sit in the messy middle of it all." One of my favorite writers is Joseph Campbell. And he says, "Let yourself get shaken up. What are you willing to give up to ensure your own unfolding and the unfolding of that which is holy in your life? Where you stumble, here is your treasure." I know now that the treasure is in the process. So what are you willing to do to find your treasure? As it was mentioned in my little introduction, one of my recent new birthings of self is as an athlete. I was a nerd girl, and running was not in my vocabulary. nor was basketball, even though everyone thought that because I was tall, I should play basketball or softball or movement of any kind, really. but in December of 2011, my sister said, "Hey, who wants to run a marathon with me?" And like a fool, I said, "Sure." So in 5.5 months, I trained to complete a marathon. I'm really glad that I had no idea what I was doing, because I never would have said yes to that. But it really helped shift some things around, both in my body and in my soul. I completed that marathon in my goal time of 5 hours. I have never thought that that would be possible to sustain continuous motion for 5 hours. I mean, unless you're a parent, right? And then nobody thinks about it. In the process, I found an expansion in my soul, which caused me to revise my identity. Many times I wanted to quit, to stay comfortable on the literal and the metaphorical couch. But I allowed myself to be shaken up in order to find a different facet of my larger self. One small change or one new idea can be monumental when entering into the cycle of rebirth. This change in my life has led me into a whole new way of seeing the world and my connection with the larger whole. Just 3 weeks ago, I ran a half marathon in Huntsville, Alabama, because I just had never been to Alabama, and I thought, well, why don't I go run? Who would think that? I'm still amazed that I can call myself an endurance athlete. But this greater expression of myself is the point of the rebirthing process. We are each called to rebirth again and again throughout our lives. In the midst of the shifting, we can feel like the only one who has ever gone through fire, the only one who has ever waited for a sign, the only one in the pain of uncertainty and chaos. We may feel it will never end and that we'll be stuck alone in the dark forever. But that is not true. You can take the words of my wise friend. Of course it hurts. You're birthing yourself. And also remember that you're not alone. We are faced with the opportunity to grow and shift from time to time. It doesn't last forever, and it is in the shaking up that we find our treasure. This treasure is the expanded vision of the self as a divinely human being unique unto ourselves. The gift you give to yourself and to those with whom you interact, lighting up the world as only you can. So you can shift the questions from what's wrong with me and why do I feel stuck to what is calling for change in my life? What small thing can I shift to feel better right now? What am I birthing? Who will I choose to be now? These questions can help transform the pain of the process into an ally, because you shift your awareness to the process of unfolding rather than the discomfort of the perceived void. When we shift the questions, we shift the focus, and we can move more easily into the flow of the birthing process. This flow allows our heart and mind to catch up with our soul's quest for enlightenment, and we can emerge as new beings with a greater capacity for love, for compassion, and for living in integrity as our uniquely beautiful, capital S, selves. Won't you join me for a moment of silence? Amen.